Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhtar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we'll move on to Quran chapter 12, beginning from verse 21, as we learn about the life of Joseph in Egypt. This is a very important portion of the story of Joseph in the Quran, because it will actually change where Joseph is going to go from the house of his master, his owner, who bought him as a slave. Obviously, in the Quran, once again, we do not know who is this person who bought him, and we do not know any of the details of what took place. But thank God, we have the biblical account, as we will go together to the book of Genesis to read the true actual account. In Quran chapter 12, beginning from verse 21, we read, "And he who bought him in Egypt." Did you notice what Allah said? "He who bought him in Egypt." What is his name and his position? Is he any important person at all? No. We just continue because Allah obviously did not know who is that person. What happened next? "Said to his woman," he meant his wife, "treat him," he meant Joseph, "generously. Perhaps he may be useful to us, or maybe we can take him a son." That is something I never heard of. When a man in Egypt or anywhere in the world buys a slave, he is not buying him for adoption, but he is simply buying him as a slave. And once again, from the story here, Muhammad did not know what is the age of Joseph. As I said before, if Joseph was a little boy, maybe you may think, well, that family in Egypt will feel sorry for him, and they're going to love him, and they're going to raise him as a son. But that's not the case. Joseph was 17 years old. He's a grown-up young man. He was not a baby to be adopted by any family. But Allah continued the Quran, "And likewise, we did settle Joseph in the land, and we will teach him the interpretation of the saying." Notice, there is something about the interpretation of the sayings. Remember earlier in the Quran, when we read that Joseph told the dream to his father, and his father told him not to tell the dream to anybody? His father said in verse 6, "And likewise, your Lord will choose you and will teach you the interpretation of the saying." Now the husband of the woman who bought Joseph wanted his wife to treat him good, generously. Perhaps he will be a son. And then Allah is telling us that he settled Joseph in the land. He meant the land of Egypt. And he taught him the interpretation of the sayings. Why do you think we're reading this over and over again? The answer is very simple. The person who is rewriting the story of Joseph knew that there is something is coming in the story where Joseph will be interpreting some dreams or some sayings. Therefore, somehow that thought was in the mind of the writer of the Quran, so he inserted it so far twice. Allah ended verse 21 by saying, "And Allah has victory over his affair." But most people do not know. One of the ridiculous statements which is repeated all over the Quran as an end for a thought. Most people do this, most people do that. Here we see most people do not know. Do not know what? Do not know that Allah will give him victory over the affairs. What affairs? Well, you just have to wait, Brother Usama, until you read the rest of the comedy of the Quran. In verse 22, we read, "And when he had reached his age of strength, we gave him judgment and knowledge, and likewise we reward the doers of good." I love it when I went to Ibn Kathir's interpretation to see what age do you think they put for Joseph to be at that time of his life. Shockingly, Muslim scholars, as always, they disagree. So they actually gave us different interpretation. As ابن كثير stated اختلفوا في مقدار المدة التي بلغ فيها أشدته. They disagree about the length of age which in it he became strong. ابن عباس and مجاهد and قتادة said 33 years. But Ibn Abbas also said 30 years and some other years. So he does not know really 33, 34, 35. He did not give it exactly. Al-Dahhak said 20 years. Al-Hasan said 40 years. Akrama said 25 years. Al-Sadai said 30 years. Ibn Jabir said 18 years. Imam Rabi'ah said, and on and on and on with all the numbers you can imagine. Do you really believe these are scholars? To give us an interpretation, of course they do not know how old Joseph was at that time of the story of the Bible. This is the reality of the comedy interpretation of Muslim scholars. They disagree and they do not know how old he was. And they gave us all these cocktail of ages and they ended with a normal ending and Allah knows best. Now let's go to the temptation, the seduction of Joseph and the respond of the husband. For in verse 23 we read, and one whom he stayed with in her house. Excuse me, he stayed with her in her house? Was he a guest of honor or was he a son? It is the master's wife. He was simply a slave at that house. But somehow Allah put in the Quran in a nicely way. What happened? Sought to seduce him. And she closed the doors. And she said, I am prepared for you. He said, Allah's refuge. Surely he is my Lord who treats me good. Surely the unjust will not prosper. Now, do we read any of these words anywhere in the Bible? As we're going to see in the book of Genesis? Of course not. So why Muhammad or whoever is writing that story for Muhammad changing the conversation, the dialogue, what took place between the master's wife and the slave Joseph? But let's continue. Allah said in verse 24, she moved to him and he moved to her. Man, oh man, the opposite of that which we read in the Bible. I'm amazed Muslims do not like so many of the passages of the Bible because we learn about the sins of these people. For example, they will say David did not commit adultery. That is not true. Lot did not commit incest because he could not have sex with his two daughters. And so on and on with every sin we read about in the Bible. Muslims rejected them. But the one young man who in the Bible did not commit sin, somehow Muhammad made him in the Quran to be a man who commits sin. Notice the Quran said, she, that is his master's wife, moved to him. And then the Quran said, and he moved to her. That is, she desired him and he desired her with lust. That is exactly what is written in the interpretation of Muslim scholars. And then we read, were it not that he saw his Lord's proof? And what is the Lord's proof? Scholars disagree. First of all, we know what is the Lord here. Is it Allah or is it the husband, his master, the husband of that woman? For Muslim scholars will tell you that his father Jacob looked at him from the ceiling of the room as he bent his fingers. And he said, don't do that, Joseph. This is not how I raised you. This is not how the prophets act. And obviously, the imagination of Muslim scholars go on and on. We do not have time for all that. Continue with the story in the Quran. Likewise, we averted him from committing the evil and indecency. Surely he is of our sincere servants. So Allah protected Joseph from committing the sin of adultery with his master's wife, even though he moved towards her with lust, as she moved towards him with lust. Somehow Allah protected Joseph from such sin. In verse 25, and they ran for the door. Why is he ran for the door? I do not know. But you can just use your imagination. Here is Joseph running to the door, and the wife of his master is running after him. And she tore his shirt behind. She, the wife of the master, tore the shirt of Joseph from behind. At the door, they met her master. She said, what is the penalty for one who would desire to do evil to your people except to be put in prison or a painful torment. What a fabricated story.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
Do we read in the Bible that Joseph ran towards the door and the woman, she was running to the door and then she cut his shirt from behind and the husband was standing at the door and somehow she was like embarrassed or something. So she made up that claim that he desired to do evil to her and now she is suggesting to her husband a punishment of some imprisonment or painful torment. Do we read any of that in the Bible? Of course, the answer is no. None of that is written in the Bible, as we're going to be seeing in the second half of that study. But somehow, the imagination of those who wrote the story of the Quran come up with this propaganda. Notice in verse 26, he said, that is Joseph, she sought to seduce me, and a witness from her family testified if his shirt was torn in the front, so she is truthful, and he is of the liars. And if his shirt was torn from behind, so she lied, and he is of the truthful. What is that? You see, Muslim scholars assured us that there was a witness, which is a little boy who is still infant, spoke and come up with that judgment, like the miracle of baby Isa, son of Mary, who spoke as an infant. And that is what the baby said. He said, if Joseph is trying to move away from her and she is pulling him towards her, obviously the shirt will be cut from the back. But if Joseph is trying to attack her and push himself against her and she was moving him away from her body, the shirt of Joseph will be cut in the front. And guess what Allah said in the Quran? It's written in verse 28, so when his Lord saw his shirt tore behind, he said, surely this is one of your devices. Surely your devices are great. Wow. The husband found out that his wife is the one she attempted to seduce Joseph, and she is the one who tore his shirt from behind. So his wife was the one who desired Joseph, drawn him to herself, was the truth. And the husband did not get upset. And the husband did not get angry. And the husband just said, it is just you, women. It is your jealousy. That is exactly how was the reaction of the husband. Nonsensical. That does not fit not only with the biblical account, but that does not fit with the culture of Egypt. If a man in Egypt finds out that his wife is trying to cheat on him, for sure he will be mad and angry. For sure, he may kick her out of his household. No. None of that happened at all. Continuing with the last verse, that is verse 29. Joseph, turn away from this and ask forgiveness for your sins. Surely, you were among the sinners. That is the words of the husband to Joseph and to his wife. Joseph, don't do that, man. Stay away from that woman. Good, good. That's good advice. What did he say to his wife? Ask forgiveness for your sins. Surely you were among the sinners. I do not think the man of Egypt who bought Joseph, who was a Baptist preacher, to simply ask his wife to seek forgiveness for her sin. If that is the true story. But obviously, as I said earlier, this is made up counterfeit of the Bible. And none of it is true. So he allowed Joseph and his wife to stay together in his house as if nothing went wrong. Quickly, let me share with you the true biblical account about what happened in the life of Joseph through these days. In Genesis chapter 39, we read, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there." Now we know who bought Joseph. Not just some man in Egypt, but a man with a high position. He was Potiphar. In verse 2, "The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. The Lord blessed Joseph as a slave in the house of Potiphar, to the point that his master put him in charge of everything in his house. He did not know too much about what's going on in his house, except the food he ate, and Joseph was in full capacity in charge of his house, because Joseph found favor in his sight, and he served him honorably." Let's move on to verse 7. "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.'" In verse 8, "But he refuses and said to his master's wife, 'Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in his house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife.'" Listen to the rest of the verse. That is something Muhammad did not know anything about. That is when he said, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He did not desire her as she desired him. He did not rush to her as she rushed to him. None of the falsehood which Muhammad inserted in the Quran is there in the true biblical account. But she didn't stop there, because we know from the scripture. "So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside." Notice, they were not running towards the door, and her husband did not meet them at the door. Joseph simply left his garment in her hand, and he ran outside the house, and no one saw what happened. In verse 13, "And so it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, 'See, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me.' And I cried out with a loud voice, and it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home." Once again, the scripture is very clear. Joseph's master was not at the door. No one was at the door. He came late, and she repeated her lie to him as she told him. As we read in verse 17, "Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, 'The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me to mock me. So it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside. Notice the reaction of the husband in the Bible is a little bit different than that in the Quran. For in verse 19 we read, "So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, 'Your servant did to me after this manner,' that his anger was aroused." That is a normal thing will happen in Egypt from such a man in such position. He would be angry when he found out that some slave is trying to seduce his wife. Not like in the Quran when he found out that his wife is the one she tried to seduce Joseph. He just left them together in the house like nothing wrong happened. Somehow Muhammad's reaction to every important portion of the story is ridiculous. When Jacob found out that his son is eaten by some wolf, he showed no sorrow. And now when the husband found out that Joseph is trying to mock his wife, he did not get upset. But that's not what the Bible said. As a matter of fact, the judgment which the master put on Joseph was not the suggestion of his wife as we read on the Quran, but it was his own decision. For in verse 20 we read, "Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison." Amazingly, any person with logic or common sense, when you read the biblical account, you find it to be 100% logical story. But when you read the Quran, it does not make any sense. Not only because the story there contradicts the Bible, but because it also contradicts the true nature of how people react to such things. And to continue our study of commentaries of the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.